Now we're in a transition a little bit. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Evan Thomas. He gets us up and running and twitching and motivated every morning. It's much appreciated. And thank you to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Also, thank you for listening on this Monday, October 14th.
Thanks to our executive producer. He is Dustin William Rhodes.
Again in the air, got a left field line. A little reaching into the stands and couldn't get it. And he's livid with a fan.
Yes, it's the anniversary of the Bartman play, which was 21 years ago.
Wow.
Can you believe it's been 21 years?
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah.
And it is definitely the Steve Bartman anniversary. Should be the Alex Gonzalez anniversary.
And thank you to Brandon Fryer for your great work.
The last women's world record set here, it's been a few years. Ruth Chepin-Gedich once came within 14 seconds. This year, the women's record will be hers. It's just a matter of what the clock will read. In red, purple, arms swinging, hair swaying, teeth gritting, Ruth Chepin-Gedich, world record time, unofficial, 2:09:55.
Congrats to Ruth Chepin-Gedich and to everyone that ran the marathon. The marathon was a wonderful event yesterday. She is the first woman ever to come in below 2 hours and 10 minutes, just barely below it, but it's a world record. And now the world record for both men and women is owned by runners of the
2 years in
marathon.
A row, second straight year.
Yep.
Great day. Stuff. Great day for the city. And a great production by the Score team.
And we have the man himself, Marshall Harris. He's here. We're all going nuts.
Happy
Marshall,
to be here.
Great to see
you. Great to see you guys.
And he's here with Dan Bernstein.
Love this Monday. Bear down. Let's go.
Love it.
4-2 is a nice place to be. 4-2 with a couple of weeks to kind of figure out what it all means, let them get a little healthy, maybe get some people back, hopefully heal up this defensive secondary. The difference between 3-3 and 4-2 is a completely different world from where you come from. And it is...
it's kind of what everyone thought they'd be. In a best-case scenario, maybe they beat the Colts, maybe they lose to the Rams, but they get to 4-2, I think, when the schedule results.
But that's two routes in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's two... That's consecutive blowouts. It's
definitely something that leaves a mark. And, you know, it's what good teams should do, and the Bears are beginning to look like a pretty good team.
Well, debatable, but, hey, Molly Whoppin is good.
What's debatable?
Well,
they've got 30 point.
You're reacting
outputs.
To the opponents.
Yeah,
two in a row.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I heard you talk about it too. So yeah. I think we're on the same page. It's like
we all understand who they're beating.
Okay.
I want a Molly Whoppin is good T-shirt.
Hey, that could be arranged.
I like it.
I might get you that
as long as it's not a Molly Whoppin, because that sounds.
Well, I don't know what a Molly Whoppin is.
We can arrange that for
sounds,
that too.
That sounds threatening to me.
No. Never that. This is Dan's right. This is like his. Best case scenario. Sure, you could say, hey, they could be 5-1 if they whatever. But I think the good news in 4-2 is that the two losses, you still had a chance to win those games. They in a league in which we've seen things kind of go haywire with favorites getting beat and a lot of blowouts, even if you look past what happened yesterday with the Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons, the Bears haven't subjected themselves to that at any point this season. Even when they went up against a great Houston Texans squad, they were able to say, hey, at the end of the game, we have a chance. And when you go on the road in the NFL with a rookie quarterback, come on, man.
Let's talk about what we're talking about here. They've got a quarterback.
Well, that's what the answer to the question.
That's the difference.
Is.
Yeah, they that's do. The difference.
No doubt about it.
And what's so funny is that we're already starting, maybe this is just me, I'm already to almost starting to take him for granted because we know Caleb Williams is now a known commodity and we know that he's going to play what I look at as conservative football, but still pick his spots to go down the field and do everything else. At no point did I, even on the interception, at no point was I like, this guy's making a bad decision. And that's something in and of itself.
No, it was just a bad throw.
Yeah, it was just a bad throw. Yeah. It was bad execution, but the decision was the right one to make. And so what I'm saying is, for us being jaded, traumatized, whatever you want to call it, from quarterbacks, offensive coordinators past, this looks very much functional, and more so than functional, a chance to be, if not good, great.
I think. You know, we talked to DJ Moore this morning, and he believes they could be 5-1. We could be 6-0. Like, there's a change in the mentality of this team with a 4-2 record.
They know. I mean, they know that they have a quarterback who's capable of those things. I think when you look at past, there aren't very many examples to point to, but 2006, a question all season long was which good Rex, bad Rex, right? You knew everything else was going to show up. You wondered about the quarterback. 2010, there was always the Cutler factor kind of hanging over. Was he going to throw you out of a game? Was he going to try to do too much? He was had a good year. I don't want to disparage Jay, but I think that was, you know, fair to wonder. And then 2018, I don't think everyone was sold on Mitch Trubisky. This year, the Bears are good. Look like they could be good again, and it doesn't look like the biggest question is the quarterback.
That's why the way they responded to that interception felt different.
Yeah.
After that, you're thinking, oh, geez, now they're going to change the risk calculus. Now they're going to pack it all in, and it's just going to be screens and draws. And they didn't. They didn't change a thing. And he got pissed at himself, and he told them, you know, bad. He knew it. And they're like, all right, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out and shred them. And the fact that they didn't allow themselves to be typically frightened out of a game plan, and because Cutler didn't care. You know, Cutler throw another pick, whatever. I don't even really count some of that stuff. But with a rookie, to allow him to just be like, keep doing your thing.
Right.
That I thought that was meaningful.
Yeah.
How are you going to handle this glorious, wondrous morning?
As we do always on a Football Monday, brought to you by Plumbers 911 and presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. A little different today because of the international travel. Steve Wyche, the NFL Network sideline reporter for the game, is going to join us at 10:25. Anthony Herron will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to bring you Matt Eberflus's press conference as soon as he speaks. Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports on the hegemony of the NFC North division at 1 o'clock and a whole lot more.
Have a great show.
All right, guys.